Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to chapter 8. Now we focused on all understanding of implementation of a plan. We also saw the digital healthcare marketing ways. We understood what is marketing in healthcare industries. We also understood the why, the need, the RACI matrix. We also understood the SWOT analysis. We also understood the SMART goals. We understood everything, right? Now, we are coming to a chapter which will focus on measuring the impact of healthcare marketing. Now, when we say measuring the impact of healthcare marketing, see, we spoke about the ROI, we spoke about the key performance indicator matrix, we also spoke about which will work for what, but how would you measure the impact? What are the key connotations of measuring the impact of healthcare marketing? I mean, at some point of time, I might have to go through a slide by reading the slide. The reason I say so is because some of the slide would only speak about tools and the number of percentage put in out there. So in that way, I will try to help you there. And then I might add something as a value for the impact of what I'm going to tell you from the experience, from the way the healthcare industry is shaping up and everything. So let us deep dive. Now, think about a question. You might join a company as a marketing manager for one of the healthcare hospitals, let's say Apollo or Manipal or let's say Fortis. And the first thing they say that, you know, I want to measure the impact of patient satisfaction. Might be a statement. So if we use this statement throughout this particular chapter, then we might be able to understand where we can use what tools, what we can do. I cannot get into a calculative mode of actual calculations, but you know, at least we can drive that impact around so that we understand the measurement of it. So the first thing is the why part. See, please understand, as I have stated before in earlier chapters, that probably one of the industries where your impact is real. When I say your impact is real, I'm talking about real patient actions, real patient satisfaction, real patient convergence, real patient bookings, patient follow-ups, patient awareness, patient retention, 24/7 management. Now see, these are all these areas where you can actually, and you know, measurement matters. It will also kind of protect the credibility through ethical and evidence-based communication, because probably this is the only industry where your communication has to be evidence-based, whether you like it or not. It's because of the regulatory body. I mean, you cannot just type in any number. Second is, it will support a continuous improvement by testing strategies and refining campaigns over a period of time. It will lead to show accountability to the leadership by proving that budgets are used effectively. It will also be an enabler for better decisions by identifying what works and what needs improvement. In the healthcare industry, they never say what doesn't work. So they say what works and what needs improvement. Showing value beyond revenue, such as increased preventive care or community awareness or patient footfall. It also supports continuous improvement by testing strategies and refining campaigns over time. And probably this is the only industry where everyone is on their toes. I mean, I'm not saying other industries are not, but this is a real-time system. I mean, you cannot just say, okay, I've done this, I can be rest assured that the lead is happening. Maybe you have to be on your toes. Maybe the lead has started generating in the first hour, on the second hour. But from the third, fourth, and fifth hour, the lead drops. So what do? You immediately change your strategy and change the idea. The content remains the same, but your internal strategy changes. And that's why measurement matters in the healthcare marketing. Now, what will be the challenge in measuring the healthcare performance? I mean, what do you think? The first thing is, a patient journey is long and it is multi-touched, or it's a multiple layer. I mean, let us understand. A person is looking for a cardiovascular doctor. Maybe he has got to know that there are certain symptoms which may lead to heart attack. Now, this patient does not know what is typically happening, but because he has done a research, because he have went to various AI-driven tools, and they say, you know, when these symptoms are there, that means your heart is not functioning properly. And heart is one of the segment which creates fear into a person's mind. So what will be the first step? he will do a research through Google that these are the symptoms, or he might go to a AI app, and then from there you will find out that this is what you need to do. You might have to touch base with the hospital or a pathology lab for so on and so forth. The next step after the awareness is will be the searching stage, which is nearby, which pathology lab offers the best services. If I go to Practo and find out, okay, this is the pathology lab, this is the ratings that they have given, this is the NPS score. Once they find it, so from the suspecting to the prospecting level, they narrow it down to, let's say, 3 and 4, and then do a call. If they don't do a call, if they go to the website and say, okay, drop in your problem, we will come back to you. So you drop in through a chatbot and there is an immediate response to them. The person who responds faster gets the journey there. We have not even gone to even diagnosis. This is simple, a level where the customer is trying to find out the right way or the right methodology for the symptoms that he or she is facing. From there, now once he has connected with you, with the healthcare company or the hospital or the pathology lab, they say, okay, no, you have to do certain kind of tests. When the tests are over, once the reports are available, you have to come visit a cardiovascular doctor because they are the specialist and they do all these things. This is your process plan, this is your price, and you have to come for a check or you come for a checkup. Very good. So before diagnosis, I almost went through 4 steps: the research, the prospecting, the finding out the right platform, and then connecting it to the right provider. So 4 steps have gone, diagnosis not yet happened. That's a pre-diagnosis. Now you go for a diagnosis. Your doctor says, you know, we've seen the reports, this is what is happening, you know, you have to go, we might do some more checks with you. Why didn't you get hospitalized for 1 day or 2 days, depending upon your time frame? Do not delay. All these things put together, now the diagnosis has started. From there, if patient says, you know, why should I get admitted to hospital? Is there any problem with me? Let me take you back to a scenario in Munnabhai MBBS where the character played by the person who was detected by cancer, I'm forgetting the actor's name, Jimmy Shergill, and he walks into the OPD department and the doctor says that who are there in your family? So immediately the patient gets hyper and says, you know, what is the problem? Then the doctor says, which is played by Gracie Singh, is that, you know, can we speak to your family members? So again the patient says, is there any problem with me? Please let me know. And then the interaction goes, and when Munna comes in to hugs him to give him a better, he's slapped. Now, please understand, the patient goes, so still now the diagnosis has just happened and the care is not even started. We might have gone 7-8 steps. From there, when the treatment starts, then there is a different connotation altogether. And from there, the ongoing treatment, it may lead to a fatal one, it may not lead to a fatal one, we do not know. So almost there are 10 to 12 steps. It's a multi-layered touch. So this is the biggest challenge to make make the patient experience good at every level. You have to do it. Second, your privacy laws, DPDP in India, HIPAA globally restrict what data can be tracked. Healthcare messaging must avoid exaggerations, limit certain tracking methods. Offline conversions, walk-ins, phone calls are harder to link to digital campaigns, and sensitive services and long decision cycles make attribution more complex than in retail. So one side you have a complex system and one side you have a complex prevention. Your marketing has to bridge the gap. If you cannot, then the challenges will grow in multifold. Imagine till the diagnosis it was an excellent service and the doctor speaks in a bad way. You know what? This report says you have a final stage leukemia or a final stage lungs cancer or a final stage bone cancer. Nothing can be done. We can use chemotherapy. You can go to this pathological lab. Everything is finished. What you built up is just at one touch point it goes. So even the teams involved in all these places are a unique challenge for you. So you have to remember that the patient journey for clinical trials are long, multi-layered touch form. And it starts from an online research to phone calls and the final one. I mean, you do not know what will happen, right? So these are a critical situation. It's a unique challenge. You will never face this kind of unique challenge as a marketeer or as a marketing manager in any other industries. If I talk about automobile, there is a simple 7-point checklist. The watchman, the reception, the service advisor, the washing guy, the accounts, again, the service advisor and the watchman. So see, 7 steps. If you walk into a retail outlet, maybe a DMart or a Reliance retail store, the touch points are only 3. The watchman, the person who comes and asks, and the billing counter. If you walk into any of the malls, there is a watchman as the primary contact, because the watchman does not know which shop you will go in, and then it increases. If you walk into a clothing retail outlet, the watchman, the counter where you keep your belongings, and then the person who does it, and the billing. 4. But this kind of a multi-layered, multi-touch form is not there anywhere, and that's why that becomes a huge challenge for all of you. And it's a unique also, because the patient's mentality is, the moment listens that I have something clinical, is in a fear mode. How do you change that fear mode to a experience that he remembers for a lifetime? That's what you have to figure it out. Now, how do you overcome those challenges? To overcome the challenges of that multi-layered, the first thing that you have to find is the patient insight. And once you understand the patient insight, you have to use a content-based feedback and an ethical data use. The way the doctor speaks, the way the receptionist speaks, the way the ward boy speaks, the way the laboratory guy speaks, the way the pathological lab guy speaks, they should all sound excellent. Then you can track both digital and offline touch points. Calls, WhatsApp, front desk logs. You can have a clear KPI. You can have a simple dashboard, and you can use a blended attribution models. You can also go in combining analytics plus your frontline feedback to understand what truly drive bookings. Use findings to optimize budgets, you know, improve patient experience and strengthen trust. See, what I'm trying to tell you guys out here is, see, your challenge is multi-layered. So the more simple you keep at those levels, and if you use a blended attribution model, it will work wonders. Because the layer is not simple. So that's why you have to keep it simple. For example, the diagnosis is done and the treatment has begun. And the patient says, you know what, I cannot come every day for checks and everything. Is there another way? Okay. Home care system or a WhatsApp. So every day there is a team that sends a WhatsApp to that person that, did you take the medicines today? Whichever we can think to improve the customer experience or the patient experience. And most importantly, it has to be simple. It has to be simple. Now, we've understood that. Now, you know, creating those goals matters in healthcare. Because, see, success in healthcare is more than clicks. We are not in a retail outlet. I mean, I like this, I click on this, I don't like this, I don't click on this. It's not like that. It's a lead that it must support both business and patient outcome. I have to take care of the business also. If there is no footfall, there is no business. If there is more footfall, but the patient outcome is not that good, then patient footfall is decreased and you lose business. Your marketing goals must be linked to revenue needs and public health impact. How much impact you're creating through a community? How much health you're creating and how much impact you're creating through the awareness programs? How much impact you're creating through the health camps? How much impact you're creating to various campaigns that you're doing in the community? The more you do, the more impact, the more awareness, the more impact. Second, it's a high traffic or impressions, which means little unless they lead to actual patient. My website has 10,000 visits every day, but my conversions are 5. It means nothing. It's very little. So you have to figure out a tendency, you must figure out something which may lead it to the actual connotations. Otherwise, it's a simple thing. It's the way you work in any other sectors, that way it works. Then you have to create something called as a balanced goal. Why it's a balanced goal? Because marketing will work with IT. IT will work with technology. Technology work with HR. HR with finance. Finance with operations. Operations with service. Service with clinicians. Clinicians with legal. This entire team has to create a chain. There should be balanced goals that marketing should support with sustainability and community well-being. Your business outcome should have new registrations, higher department utilizations, fewer no-shows. If the person has booked, I'm not too sure which hospital does this. If you book an appointment, let's say I have through the website, I have looked at the calendar, and on Friday, let's say the 1st of December or 10th of December, Friday, or let's say the 10th of December, which is a Wednesday, I have booked an appointment at 5 p.m. because it's nearby to my office in one of the following places that the hospital chain offers. But I couldn't go because of whatever reasons. In most of the cases, people don't call them. There are a lot of hospitals, what they do, they have taken this advantage from a little window, and what they do is they send a reminder. You know what? Today you have an appointment at 5, maybe it is sent at 2. It is automated. It is used by AI. If even after that it's a no-show, then there is another team that gets do a follow-up. Sir, you missed your appointment. Is there any specific reason? Shall I go ahead and, you know, kind of get into a online consultation? So in all these sections, what happens most is the patient outcome matters. It should come with a preventive screenings, better follow-up systems, and improved adherence. Because when it's a no-show, whatever you do, no-show doesn't build to business. There is no business then. Then, how do you link the business goals to patient outcome? See, if you look at the entire, all these things, and I will be speaking more about the final chapter, the future outlook. But one thing is common throughout marketing in healthcare industry is the patient outcome, is the patient expectation, is the patient experience. It's all about patient, the outcome, the experience, and the expectation. So your goals always should reflect a dual impact. The patient health, the patient outcome, the patient expectation and experience, plus the organization growth. It should create a marketing as a way of a care delivery and not a promotional tool. I'm not here to promote sales. I'm here to promote patient expectation. That will create a shift in mind, will create a shift in mindset. And then your alignment ensures campaigns contribution directly to the hospital missions. So for example, Know Your Heart campaign. The business says increase cardiac screening by 25% in 6 months. That means if today I am looking at 100 cardiac screenings, in the next 6 months, I'm looking at 125. In the last quarter, I did 100. Or the last 6 months, I did around 100. But in the next 6 months, I'm looking at 125. That means averagely 4 screenings a month. That's the business target. What is the patient impact? Detect disease earlier and improve outcome. So your approach should start with the patient impact. Should create a one-liner which creates a prevention. Like you can create a campaign, Know Your Heart, and then a tagline, prevention is better than cure. Please dial in so-and-so number so that we can detect if anything happens. No fear marketing. This approach will prove marketing is not just a promotional tool, but it's part of care delivery. That is how you link business and patient outcome. The SMART goal effect. How do I use SMART goal technique to create my goals actionable and it secures a timeline with a thought process and everything? So clearly define the exact result. Now, if I go back to the previous slide, increase cardiac screening by 25%. So from 100 to 125 in 6 months. What is the exact result I'm looking at? I'm looking at to increase my bookings in cardiac screening by 25 in the next 6 months, which is 4 or 5 screenings a month. Right? Okay. How it is measurable? By the way I do the trackable indicators and the bookings, calls, form fills and referral codes, how many leads am I going to generate and how many are coming up to do a cardiac screening. Again, the demographic is important. I mean, you cannot go a 25-year-old and say, Know Your Heart. It might be required, but not that they think about it is required. So how do you create that? So you gain more. How do you make it achievable? You align with the budget. You know, this is the ad that is going. We are creating a campaign called Know Your Heart. This is what we are going to do on paper inserts. We want to do Insta ad, we want to do Facebook ad, we want to do Meta ad, and this is what is at the clinical capacity. How does it relevant? It fits with organization priorities because they're looking at to go ahead and do with the increase of cardiac screening because they have one of the best cardiac unit out there. Fits with organization priority. So SMAR. And then it is time bound. Why? 6 months or 3 months. So a smart example is enroll 200 patients in a diabetes program within 6 months. Voila. That's the idea. That's how you set goals actionable with the SMART technique. I hope you have understood it. Now there are ethics and there are benefits of clear goals. See, guys, you are in an industry which is driven by compliance, driven by ASCI and MCI guidelines. This is very, very essential for trust and safety. You might not know it, but that's what it says. So healthcare goals must avoid exaggerated promises or high pressure targets. Every time what you do has to be compliant with ASCI and MCI guidelines. Your well-defined goals or your SMART goals make measurement easier and more accurate, and they improve the budget allocation, which will help you identify high ROI campaigns, the end goal. The clear goal also support a transparent reporting to the leadership and faster course correction. Okay, I was not able to do 200 in diabetes management program in the 6 months. I was able to do 190 or 180, 170. This is what we need to change. In the next 6 months, we can see another 200. So without them, marketing risk becomes scattered, unaligned, and hospital is gone. There is no strategy at all. Why channel specific matters? See guys, patients, as I said, move through a long multi-step decision journey, not a single play. We have done it before. But there is, if there is a multi-step decision or a multi-layer decision journey, so each journey, each step defines a channel. And then the channel plays a different role. The discovery, the trust building, the conversion or the retention. In every stage it works. And measuring that with the right metric per channel will help you identify what's working and what's not fixing. A metrics also reveals gaps such as poor landing pages, low relevance, weak engagement. Good measurement is equal to better decisions, smarter budgets, and improved patient outcomes. See guys, I will go on, but the end goal is improved patient outcomes. So what does the website and ACO matrix do? Again, as I said previously, for certain slides, I'll read it out for you. So your website is your digital clinic. You have to think like that. I mean, it's an extended version of your clinic. So it's a digital clinic. The organic traffic, it shows the SEO strength and the keyword relevance. So if I put in keyword, how relevant they are. The bounce rate suggests high number of poor user experience, low loading or mismatched content. And the conversion rate shows high numbers on user experience, bookings, forms and downloads. So there are two things, bounce rate and conversion rate. The bounce rate means the patient hits the website, goes out because it's not loading. But there is a possibility that even the person who is at their network might not be the great. So you have to keep everything in mind. Your landing page is, your website is your digital clinic. Second one is your local search interaction. So you may call up with the local search guys, map clicks, the direction, the Google business profile. So if traffic rises but bookings don't, landing page need clearer CTAs and trust signals. It's simple. I told you before, my hit is 10,000 per day, or let's say 1,000 per day, but my bookings are less than 5. You need a clearer CTAs, or your landing page needs to be reworked. Paid ad matrix, that is PPC and social ads, is used for fast targeted patient acquisition. It's a short term. CTR, it measures how compelling your ad is, how well the ad is under the compliance of the guidelines. CPC, it indicates paid traffic cost efficiency. CPA is your true cost of acquiring a patient in a most important metric. Revenue return per rupee spent on ads. Example, high CTR but high CPA is equal to targeting mismatch or weak landing page. Please understand that in a very connotation. So my cost of patient acquisition is high and my CTR is also high, click to ratio. So if both are high, that means my targeting is a mismatch or there is a weak landing page. It is used for trust building, your engagement rate, your reach, follower growth, the video watch time. Now see, what's your expected timeline? 6 seconds? 3 seconds? See, if there is a reel of 20 seconds, and if the person just looks at, okay, what are the symptoms for cardiovascular, and I scroll, your Insta gives you that, how much time is spent on each video. So video watch time also drives algorithm boosts and deeper education. One of the biggest examples is regional language content increases engagement and reach in tier 2-3 cities. Why? Because they connect with that regional language. So for example, if you're doing a campaign in Satara in Maharashtra, it has to be hardcore Marathi. If you're doing it somewhere down south in Chennai, you cannot expect that they will understand all the four languages. It will be in Tamil. If it is Hyderabad, it is Telugu, Kerala, Malayalam. If you go to Goa, what will you do? In Goa, it's Konkani. They speak Marathi. They speak Hindi, then English. So I might go with English and Hindi. At North, I might keep it Hindi. But with extreme North, like Punjab, Haryana, and all the other Himachali areas, I might go with the local languages. So for Punjab and Haryana, it can be a Punjabi. Similarly, down East or Northeast, I might use the language. That's what increases your engagement. And that's what is trust building, education, and community connection. Now, there are sample of, you know, email and mobile app metrics. So email marketing, open rate, CTR, unsubscribe rate, conversion rate, mobile app, install, DAU, MAU, retention rate, session length. So for an example, WhatsApp reminders improve app retention significantly. So email marketing is what? It's for retention. Open rate is for subject lines and trust. CTR is used for what? For measuring intent in content. Unsubscribe rate is for flags, for overload or irrelevance. Conversion is for booking. Mobile app is crucial for India's mobile first market. DAU, MAU, frequency of use and stickiness. Retention rate is long-term value of the app. Session length is depth of engagement. If I put it in a tabular format, this is what it comes out. Your website and SEO. Your primary is organic traffic, bounce rate, conversion, local search and interactions. And in healthcare, discoverability, relevance of content, ease of booking. Paid ads, your click-to-reach, CPC, CPA, return on ad spend, show ad effectiveness, cost efficiency, social media, measures trust building, brand awareness, email marketing reflects effectiveness, mobile app tracks patient engagement. Take a snapshot, keep it, it will help you out. Now with all these things, if you look at this, why the tools matter? I mean, how will you track at a multi-layer approach? How would you think from a support of healthcare specific needs? How would you analyze behavior, refine messaging and improve ROI? How will you draw a unified picture of patients' journeys? How will you track every patient touchpoint from click to final booking or from final booking to diagnosis, from diagnosis to treatment, from treatment to ongoing treatment and from ongoing treatment to closure, if there is a closure? So this campaign should have a clear view and drive real patient actions. It's a support of healthcare specific needs like privacy, consent, and compliance. Now the tools. The first one is Google Analytics 4, which is called as GA4. Simple, full path of awareness, consultation and conversion, supports cross-device tracking, mobile and desktop, built-in consent and privacy controls are there. Tracks key actions like book appointment and brochure downloads. They track everything. Second is the Meta Ads Manager. It measures performance of Facebook in real time, Instagram ads in real time. It tracks conversions such as guide downloads or webinar registrations, strong A-B testing for creative imagery and messaging, and it's a geo-targeted health awareness and patient acquisition campaigns. Meta Ads Manager. LinkedIn Campaign Manager and user experience tools like Hotjar and Clarity. I'll also let you know which of these tools are chargeable, which of the tools are free, what are their charges. A LinkedIn Campaign Manager is ideal for a B2B healthcare. Now, when I say B2B healthcare, hospital to insurers, insurers to medical technology to hospitals, that way. Tough target decision makers using job titles, industries and accounts. Lead generation form, simplified data capture for busy professionals. So for example, a hospital is tying up with a company for their annual checkups, monthly checkups, anything, hospital usage, cardiovascular usage, checks, pathological labs. So if I'm joining a company A, even I have to go to that hospital to do the testing because they will send you there. You know, these are B2B places. So you can track engagement on white papers, webinars, and clinical updates. Hotjar and Microsoft Clarity. It's basically, these tools are user experience tools. So it creates heat maps where the users have clicked, where the users have scrolled, where they have moved out of the website. You know, the session recordings reveal friction into booking and inquiry forms. On-site service capture, real patient feedback was this helpful. It helps you to improve user experience on high-value pages like Find a Doctor or Book Now. CRM and automation tools, and these are your inbuilt. CRM tools connect online and offline interactions in one place. Platforms like Salesforce, Health Cloud, HubSpot, Zoho give you clear ROI visibility. It can enable segmentation like, you know, antenatal patients, cardiac patients, rivet visitors. It creates an automation tool that measures effectiveness of emails, SMS, and re-engagement flows. Most importantly, it tracks the patient journey from ad click to website to phone call to appointment. That's your CRM and automation platforms. Integrated measurement approach, combine analytics of GA4, MetaAd, UX tools, and CRM. You can create an unified dashboard for traffic generation, lead generation, bookings, and follow-ups. It will help you create a marketing performance to actual clinic and business outcome. Most importantly, it ensures that every marketing activity contributes to patient care and trust. Now, please take a snapshot first. Pause this for a moment and look it very carefully. Tool and platform, Google Analytics 4 or GA4. Primary usage, website traffic and conversion tracking. Strengths, event-based, cross-device, privacy controls. Limitations, needs proper setup. Limited P2 due to compliance. And because it's a free, so the compliance plays a heavy role. The Meta Ads Manager for Facebook and Instagram campaign. Real-time performances, targeted reach, but the limitation is targeting limits for healthcare. It's not yet expanded, but they're expanding. It is free to use. However, ad spend varies. Influencer fees varies. If you're using a LinkedIn campaign manager, it's definitely for B2B. It's not for B2C. Account-based targeting, pro demographics, higher cost per lead, less patient-facing use. It is free to use, but the higher ad spend. So if you want to give an ad using LinkedIn Campaign Manager, the spend is high. Hotjar, it's a website for user experience and behavior insights. It uses heat maps. There is no PII, aggregate data only. Free tier, but paid from $32 a month. Initially, it is free, but once you get in the charges, it's $32 per month. Microsoft Clarity, again, it's a free user experience and scroll tracking tool. Now, it's a scroll tracking tool or a user experience, free. Unlimited heat maps, replace, zero cost. Fewer advanced options, and it's absolutely free. So if I only want to track where is the user experience, how the person has tracked, or where the person has scrolled, it will give you unlimited heat maps. But free, but there is no advanced version of it. So if you are at a primitive research, you want to just track how many users are using where and heat map from a website perspective. So I might use a Google Analytics A4 for website traffic and conversion tracking, and I might use a Microsoft Clarity for free user experience and scroll tracking tool. Both are free. CRM and marketing automation. It's a patient journey tracking, campaign reports, centralized data, but it's costly. And it is complex to implement because it's a system. It starts from $50 to $1,000+ a month. And that's why it's costly. Salesforce is costly. So you have free tools, you have paid tools. Use it wisely. Now, if I'm using those tools, then I will be creating dashboards. I will be needing tools to creating dashboards. So the purpose of dashboards in healthcare is very critical. It's a central control system for all marketing measurement. It's a fragmented data combined into a single easy to read review. It identifies what is working, what needs fixing, what outcome is doing. It supports multiple stakeholders, executive clinicians, marketeers, and it enables faster data-driven decisions with greater accuracy and transparency. The first KPI for each stakeholder group: management matrix, clinical leader matrix, marketing team matrix. Management metrics are both from a growth indicator and patient acquisition, campaign ROI, service utilization, and revenue. Clinical leader matrix is more like track specialty-wise appointment volume, cardiovascular, what is the volume, diabetes management program, what is the volume, know your heart, cardiac screening, what is the volume, what are the wait times, what is the telehealth usage, what are the preventive event attendance, marketing team matrix, you know, CTR, CPL, conversion rate, SEO, traffic, email engagement. Dashboards can be filtered, role-specific, filter-specific, and it avoids overwhelming users with irrelevant data. Simple and advanced dashboard. Now, you have a simple dashboard like Lucas Studio, Power BI Basic, and Excel. A simple core metrics, website traffic, top campaigns, bookings for small practices or early stage, not for heavy. For heavy, you have an integrated CRM or EHR, ad platforms, feedback system, segmentation filters, predictive analysis, suited for multi-location hospitals or high-volume campaigns. Dashboard complexity should match the data maturity and budget. Okay, since we spoke about the simple and advanced dashboard, now let us look at the automatic reporting for speed and accuracy. Now, automation eliminates manual errors and saves time. Processing time, whatever you can call it. Pulls data automatically from GA4, Meta Ads, CRM, EHR with compliance. Dashboards update in real time or on scheduled refresh cycles. Enables weekly, monthly, and quarterly reports and supports rapid decision making. For example, adjusting a heart health heart campaign based on daily performance trends. Now, why attribution matters in healthcare? See, patient decisions has involved multiple touchpoints, ads, website, review, calls, diagnosis. Your attribution model can assign credit to those touchpoints to show what truly drives conversions. So maybe the ad was excellent and came to website, but from the website for the reviews was not good. So you can actually figure out where the error is. The model chosen impacts budget allocation, campaign strategy, and ROI. And most importantly, healthcare journeys are long and complex. So attribution helps decode which channels matter most. Rule-based attribution models. So the first click attribution or the last click attribution. The first click attribution gives all credit to the first interaction, useful of awareness campaigns, understanding how patient enters the funnel. The last click gives you the full credit to the final action, the base for conversion, focused initiatives, promotion or remarketing, and may undervalue earlier nurturing steps. The linear attribution, it splits credit equally across all touch points. Ideal for long, multi-step decisions like surgeries and fertility care and time decay attribution. It gives more weight to recent interactions, not the long-term. Effective for time-sensitive campaigns like seasonal vaccines or limited offers. Blended model is more of machine learning to access the true contribution and best for large organizations with complex journeys and robust data sets. How do you choose the right attribution model? So an awareness campaign will require a linear model or a first click. A conversion campaign might use as a last click or a time decay. High consideration services like surgeries, IVF may prefer linear or blended. Multi-speciality hospitals will always use data-driven models for nuanced insights, and no single model fits all. Mainly healthcare teams or marketing teams use different models by their service line. Challenges, and this is specific to India and their solutions. Cross-device behavior break, many appointments still come via phone or walk-ins. Shared family device create mixed browsing data. Smaller clinics lack integration of CRM systems. Solutions is you can use call tracking to link phone bookings to campaigns. Train staff to ask, how did you hear about us? Encourage online confirmations for traceable data, and you can create an adoption for the CRM system that can merge offline and online interactions. Real example, Mumbai Fertility Clinic using different models, linear versus time decay, discovers that blog posts generate early interest while referral doctors close conversions, leading to a smart budget allocation across both. So I'm using both way of doing this. One is a linear and one is a time decay attribution. The linear is giving me the early interest while the time decay gives me the referral doctors to conversion, leading to a smarter budget allocation. Offline also matters. Patients move between online research and offline calls. Offline steps often drive the final decision but are missed if not tracked properly well. Connecting offline and online data gives a complete view of the patient journey. Without this, marketers undervalue the channels that truly influence convergence. What it means is, I mean, you cannot only have an online measurement, or you can have not only an offline measurement. You have to club. Both come together and gives you the data that you're looking for. Tracking offline conversions, call tracking. I mean, it's one of the easiest way to phone numbers for each campaign, log source call duration and allowed recordings, help distinguish high value calls from quick inquiries. Walk-ins, how did you hear of us, is the most common question that is asked in the intake forms, or you can use the predefined categories for Google search, Facebook, referral pass by, or you can use campaigns that drive spontaneous or local visits. Referral tracking essentials are used for unique referral codes for each partner, electronic reference forms, and making the referring provider mandatory in patient registration. So if I'm coming from a referral, there is in the form you type in who has referred you, and they type in the name. Like in a banking system, when you're opening an account, you need a reference. So the reference also provide if the person has an account in that bank. Why it matters? Because it helps identity. It helps to identify partners who drive the highest value and long-term patients, and it guides your targeting for a relationship building efforts. Integrating, I told you before, integrating offline and online. CRM is the biggest hub for merging call data. It gives you insight for campaigns, bringing the highest lifetime value patients, the time between first online touchpoint and offline booking, and which channel supports repeat visits and follow-ups. EMR integration, which is an advanced, links campaigns to clinical outcomes, not just bookings. What is the outcome? It also tracks whether patients complete treatment or join long-term programs. What are the benefits of integration? Plus, I'll give you a real example. Most accurate ROI, better budget allocation, improved service, and full mapping of online research to offline action. For example, a dental chain uses call tracking, walk-in, intake, and referral codes. So the CRM and EMR reveals the Facebook generates many leads, Google ad patients have higher long-term value, referral converts fastest. Result, bridging the shift from Google ad with a stronger referral program. So you're not using one, using both. The dashboards often gives you low conversions while clinics see high footfall. Tier 2, 3 patient behavior differs, many call or walk-in instead of clicking ads. They are from that level, so that's a measurement gap. Poor internet connectivity. I told you previously that your website landing page is excellent, but because it is going to such a demography where there is poor internet connectivity, which might lead to saved numbers, WhatsApp messages, or offline visits. Limited integration between marketing tools, HMS, EHR creates broken attribute chains. Result, high-performing campaigns appear weak and risk losing budget. Key challenges in non-metro and hospital systems, patchy internet, older devices, patients are always offline. Even though they see an ad, message or a direct visit is the most commonality out there, and valuable conversions remain invisible in digital analytics because there is no digital out there. It's all, you know, physical, although you can keep a system. Hospital system gaps, marketing uses GA4 ads, hospital uses HMS or manual registers. Appointment and referral data is rarely flow back to dashboards. True ROI becomes hard to measure across channels. What it does is, the practical workaround to bridge that gap is very simple. You might have a call tracking or a number pulling. You might do a reception logging. Front desk might come up with how did you hear about us, or who referred you, or how did you come to know about us. WhatsApp tracking can give you a campaign specific QR code, links to WhatsApp business chat, periodic reconciliation, so match booking logs with marketing data weekly, monthly, or offline visits to be matched with campaigns. So you can also go ahead and ask, okay, did you look at this campaign from our website? How did you hear from us? Also gives you a similar kind of a picture. Hybrid dashboards. You have to combine online, offline, everything there in a Looker Studio or Power BI. This hybrid systems help the marketing guide reveal the entire impact of a real way scenario and the campaigns in India's mixed online offline environment. The key challenges in the healthcare sector, we spoke about key challenges in metro, we spoke about challenges in urbans, we spoke about challenges of online, offline, but this is kind of an overall challenges in the healthcare sector. To begin with, storing the medical record of the patient. Now remember, it's a regulatory based industry. So storing the medical record of the patient is of utmost challenge. Now if a hospital has been there in the system for 15 years, imagine the number of patient data that they would have. Second is maintaining the hospital information system, which is HIS. It's huge. The patient, the clinicians, the physicians, the medicines, the purchase, the procurement, everything. Large communication gap between rural and urban population. Now, this is probably one of the biggest today in the digital medium. Absence of accurate information in villages. Now, see, there is a communication gap between rural and urban, and immediate next to it is the absence of accurate information in villages. Medication error, the types of medicines being used. Typically in the rural area, if you go to a city for a checkup, which is let's say 10-15 kilometers away, you will come back to your own shop to take a medication, and not always every time they will give you the same medication. Because they are pharmacists, they are physicists, my bad, not a physicist, they are physicians. Because they are pharmacists, they will give you, you know what, we have the same composition, but the brand that is mentioned there, it might not be the same brand. They say, okay, that is fine. That is called as a medication error. And there's translation difficulties. When you have all these things put together, those are the six biggest challenges in the healthcare sector. How the role of insights into improving those campaigns. Data collection is the first starting point. Healthcare campaigns requires continuous optimization. A structured data-driven cycle ensures each campaign before more effective over time, and the result is smarter decisions, higher ROI, once again, better patient experience. Data-driven optimization cycle, measurement, data through GA4, call tracking, CARMEMR, walk-ins and referrals, identify patterns, the high CTR but low booking, strong engagement but poor conversions, act, apply improvements after update messaging, fix booking page friction, refine targeting, shift budgets. Review, remeasure impact weekly or monthly to confirm what worked and document the learnings. This entire cycle of measure, analyze, act and review, we call it MAR in marketing for healthcare, strengthens performance and prevents wasted spend. Optimization example, telehealth. Simplifying booking forms boosted completion rates by 35%. So just because you simplified your booking process or simplified the booking form, it boosted the completion rate or it boosted the conversion rate by 35%. So initially, if your booking was 100 and just because you simplified a booking form, it is now 135. Dental ads, refocusing Instagram, Facebook targeting, reduced cost per booking by 22%. So per ad spend of the cost per booking by 22%. Referrals, it strengthens surgeon partnerships, doubled referral patient volume. Seasonal health promotion, simplifying package selection, increased submissions by 40%. These are iterative changes which creates quick and measurable improvements. Iteration matters because patient decisions are sensitive and emotional and slow. Small user experience or misuse can derail conversions. Continuous refinement removes friction, helps allocate budget to channels that builds quality patients, not just clicks, builds organizational knowledge so future campaigns start stronger, treat analytics by diagnosis, find the cause, adjust treatment and monitor outcomes. So thank you. This is the entire impact of marketing in healthcare. See you in chapter 9.